Hare Krishna. Here's some questions, starting with one from Dallas. Nityananda Chandra says, this question came to us through our ISKCON Dallas Temple website. Is having a lustful attraction or attachment to Sri Radha an impediment to one's practice? Yes, it is. Therefore, better give that up. And if someone can't give it up, then one should stop those practices or activities by which one's developed that lustful attachment, and just focus one's attention on Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, and so on, until the heart becomes sufficiently purified that one can also see Krishna along with Srimati Radharani. One cannot have a lustful attraction to Srimati Radharani because Srimati Radharani only belongs to Krishna, and she doesn't know any men other than him. The best we free ourselves from such a mentality. Bhakta Atila says that he's tattooed a verse on his arm, and some devotees say that this is not very good, or this may even be offensive, so he wants to know what he should do. Well, he's not the only one who's tattooed verses, Maha Mantra, pictures of Krishna, and so many other things on different parts of their body. And whereas in Vaishnav culture, conch shell, disc, lotus, and cub in Madhava Sampradaya are sort of tattooed, they're burned onto the body. It's not our Gaudiya tradition. Our Gaudiya tradition is to use tilak, and with tilak stamps, there can be stamps also with mantras and the Lord's name. However, in the case of this shloka of the Gita, which he liked very much, shloka is really tattooed within your heart, then that's the real essence. To tattoo it on the body is an external affair. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that it will have any effect on your consciousness. But now that it's there, what to do? Bhakta Das is now asking a question that I've answered a couple of times recently, that if children are able to have naturally, should they accept this as a karma, or should they do artificial means of insemination? The interesting part of the question, aside from the fact that, yes, it can be done and there's historical precedent to it, is the devotees should make that decision, and how they would make that decision, that they're not just going to accept they can or can't do naturally, but they'll try to look into alternate means. It's a difficult question to answer in principle. In principle, I would say that it depends upon the individuals, the circumstances, and so on. However, devotees, before they do go ahead, should really seriously meditate and pray to Krishna to give guidance on this, and discuss it with very neutral and senior devotees, that are they doing an over-endeavor. And of course, that depends not only upon the philosophy itself, but the other aspect of what it is that they can do. In other words, here's the question, is what it is that you should do, and maybe that you should do one thing, but not necessarily that you can do it or live with those consequences. But maybe that someone shouldn't just accept that they can't have children as Krishna's will, but they may not be able to accept it. It may disturb them too much, and therefore, over-endeavor or not over-endeavor, they may try for IVF treatment in any case. Not easy answer. And like some things in Kali Yuga, nothing is necessarily just black and white. Ishvara Krishna asks an interesting question, which is a lengthy question, but I'll abbreviate it. He says that at present we have about 6% of the Vedas in writing, and the other 94% is lost, if not more. So we've come to the conclusion of what the purpose of the Vedas is from the 6%. But how do we know that if we didn't have the other 94%, that we wouldn't have a different conclusion as to what the Vedas are all about? My answer would be is that whether you taste a drop of seawater or wherever you taste it, it will taste the same. You don't need to drink the whole ocean in order to know what it tastes like. So, for instance, we don't even need the 6% to know what the conclusion of the Vedic literature is. We can take just a very little percent of that 6%, and one verse in the Bhagavad Gita says what? Vedaishasar Vedahamrita Vedya. Krishna says, by all the Vedas I am to be known. So what else do we need to know? If one part of the Veda says this is the purpose of the Vedas, then that's what the rest of the Vedas is going to say. It's not going to say anything different. And whatever the conclusion is of the 6%, that will be the conclusion of the other 94%. That's part of the consistent nature of the Vedic literature. And the last question is from Bhakta Zenu. He says that in spiritual life, is it important to give up attachment to women? In spiritual life, it's important to give up attachment to women and to give up attachment to men. Give attachment to sex life in its gross as well as its subtle forms, namely family attachment. Actually, Prabhupada says the whole purpose of the Varnashram system is to be able to give up sex life. Because as long as our attachment to the temporary is there, it's difficult for our attachment to Krishna to really mature. But that requires a certain purification of the heart. And there are two paths of becoming detached. One is the Nivritti Marg, and the other one is the Pavritti Marg. One is the path where you immediately give up everything and you live as a brahmachari or a sannyasi. And the other one is where you practice the regulated household life of Krishna consciousness, where by the age 50, 60, one comes to the same state of renunciation, in fact, inner renunciation, where family members are seen not as my family, but as Krishna's family, and some other servants of Krishna who I need to help in this world. So yes, we need to come to that stage, and it is essential if we really want to make our spiritual life a successful one. Hare Krishna.